I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
It is so funny how everybody overreacts to everything. So let me get this straight as it pertains to the New York Mets. The team, the same team that most of you had dead and buried 3 days ago, all of a sudden now, well on their way to winning a division here. You gotta relax and evaluate this team overall. And when you look at what the Mets have done here this season, there was always reason to believe that they were going to be a playoff team. So forget that for a second. Then when you watch what they've done recently, you know, losing that game on Sunday against Atlanta and watching the Phillies play the way that they have, there was reason to believe that the division was probably out of reach. And now, because the Mets have won the first two games from the Phillies, who they seem to own, at least for now, the confidence is back in full force. And you should be excited if you're a Mets fan because they played pretty well here the last couple of days. However, it means nothing without a win tonight. They put themselves in a spot where there is no wiggle room. There is no margin for error as far as the division is concerned. Now, there's a whole nother conversation, even if you're not worried about the NL East, well, okay, just get in the playoffs and this team could do damage. That is something that I felt for a long time. I was remaining positive and calm through the thick of the storm here where most people were jumping off the boat. So I've always believed that this was a playoff team. And yes, they've been inconsistent. They know it. You heard Nimmo say it last night. Everybody said it. They've been inconsistent. You don't know what to believe at times with this team. But they have responded. That's the important thing. Forget about the two wins against the Phillies as it pertains to the standings for a second. They've responded against a team that they were going to be measured up against. This was a measuring stick series. Not the games and the loss column that they're behind the Phillies. No, a measuring stick. Hey, how are they going to stack up against a team that has been better than they have throughout the course of the season? To a tune of 7 games better prior to these two games. And they did look the Phillies in the eye, and they did beat the Phillies, and they've done it in good ways where you know, come back in these games or blow leads and then come back again, showing some toughness, some fight, some resiliency. Those are the important things that you look for with this group. But don't get ahead of yourselves here, thinking that all of a sudden now everything can be forgotten in the past, which it should be. Nothing else that happened prior to today matters. It's about the final 30 games of the season. Whether it's the 5 games back, the 3.5 in front of the Reds, getting the postseason, seeing what they could do. Yes, we all know that that's important. But there are some things that even in a win, the same way that I would say after a loss, yeah, but there are some good things there that's encouraging. Like the fact that you have, you know, whoever may be over the midst of the losing streak. Yeah, but I still like the Mets back into the bullpen at the top of the order. Those are things that we were saying when they were losing to still have belief. But even with the win last night, there is reason for concern. Two of their more integral pieces last night did not get the job done. That's a problem. Sean Manaea going 4 2/3 is a problem. Ryan Helsley not being able to get a clean inning when they desperately needed it, that's a problem. Right now, the Mets don't have an ace. Senga and Manaea have not pitched like that. That's an issue. All right, you love Nolan McClain. Great. He's done it for 2 starts. So do you know that he's going to be that guy? So just relax. Yeah, enjoy the wins. Get pumped up. Go for the sweep tonight. Hey, if the Mets don't sweep the Phillies, then they're not going to be in the conversation for the division. So right now, yeah, everything's back on. Game back on. Go win the division. Sure, it seems like that. But all it takes is one little slip up and a loss to the Phillies, and that's back off the table, and then it's about the postseason again, just getting there. Which we expect the Mets to do, but they've put themselves in a tough spot where they're going to have to fight tooth and nail to be able to get there. And now, if you spin it forward, not even just for these 30 games, but also in the postseason, without Manaea being a force, and they could say that he's working his way back up. How many starts is it going to take here for Sean Manaea to work his way back up? The good news is that he could be a very effective pitcher. The bad news is that it's only for 3 or 4 innings. So now they have to figure out how to best utilize that. Also, they clearly need a new eighth inning guy. Helsley is not it. He can't be it. It's disappointing. It's shocking. You can't. This is not the time to be, well, we'll try it. Last night, I agreed with the decision from Mendoza to go out there and have Helsley start that eighth inning. There's no way you're bringing Rogers back out, even though it was a quick seventh inning. He's a one-inning guy. Start him with a clean inning. Rogers going to get the job done more often than not. He did his job. The only debate to me was if you're going to have Diaz pitch the full two innings there. And it's something I thought about, and the reason why I would say no is because you have to win tonight as well. And if you pitch Diaz for two innings right out of the gate, then you know you're likely not going to have him available for the next game, which they need. They could 2 out of 3 against the Phillies in this series, not good enough. Mets have to sweep if you want to win the division. If you want to be taken seriously in the NL East, you got to sweep the Phillies. And I'm sure that's what they're thinking. They know it. The Phillies know it. We should know it. 2 out of 3, not good enough. Can't go back to a 6-game deficit and have another game off the board. It would take a miracle for the Mets to win the division in that case. However, if they do sweep, now it's not necessarily a miracle. Now it's, okay, they've got a shot. Still going to be an uphill battle, but at least you'd be in the game. So anyway, you can't use Diaz right out of the gate for two innings and then take him off the table the next night. So you need your guy Helsley to go out there and do the job. And the one thing he couldn't do under any circumstance was give up that home run to Bader. Because otherwise he'd be out of the game after that. If Bader gets on, get out, you could go to Diaz right then and there for the 5-out save. And at least it was out of necessity. You tried it with Helsley, didn't work. Walk a guy, tougher. You know, the problem with Helsley is his fastball can't put people away. That's an issue. He can't put guys away. How many times are you going to watch it last night? 101 on the radar. Meanwhile, Diaz is throwing 98, and it looks like it's 120 blowing guys away. But Helsley's 101 on the radar. It's as straight as an arrow, and he can't put guys away. Fighting it off. Until they eventually walk or tattoo one, square one up, they hit it 9 miles. Harrison freaking Bader. Point is, Helsley cannot be the eighth inning guy. So even with the win last night, and I'm as excited as anybody else. I want to see this team win the division. You know that. Desperately. I thought that they would. I held out hope. Forget hope. That's the wrong word. I held out belief as long as I could. And where I really, truly stopped believing in the division was Sunday when they coughed that game up to the Braves, combined with the Phillies win, knowing that it was a 7-game deficit. I didn't believe. Of course, it was still possible, but I'd be lying to you if I said I believed they were going to win the division at that point. Because I knew what it would take. Minimum a sweep of the Phillies, and I did not think that was going to happen. And now that's there. That is possible. They've done a great job. But even with that win last night, there are some major, major concerns, like not having an eighth inning reliever or trying to figure out who that's going to be. You know, if you were to ask me 5 days ago, I said, hey, maybe call up Tong and have him come out of the bullpen and be that weapon. Well, clearly that's not going to be the case. They finally brought up Tong, but he's going to be a starter starting Friday night. Okay, it's good that he's up here. Better late than never, I guess. But he's not going to be that weapon out of the pen. So who the hell is going to be the eighth inning guy for this team? You can't have Diaz going, you know, two innings every time. Again, I'm thinking big picture. Big picture, talking postseason, you know, trying to get there. And then, of course, in the postseason. Helsley is a major problem. So, yes, it's great to have the win. And the Mets offense has been great. But there were two bad signs last night, even in the win, that should have you concerned long-term, big picture. Final 30 games, and then, of course, in the postseason with Manaea and Helsley. I don't know how you could overcome that. You know, they went and made a big trade, obviously multiple trades, to shore up that bullpen. And it's only going to work if those guys do their job. And Helsley, it's not that you're going to be perfect every single time. Rogers hasn't, but he's done his job. Helsley has been awful almost every time. And just when you thought maybe he could start to turn the corner after a clean inning the night before, he goes out there with a 2-run lead last night and gets beat yet again. So no longer can the Mets roll him out there and say, let's hope he gets a turnaround. Let's put him in a spot where, you know, we're going to get the most out of him. They tried that. It didn't work. He's now got to be removed from that high-leverage situation. So do you push Rogers to the eighth inning? Do you keep Rogers in the seventh and then go with Raley as an eighth inning guy? Is it just matchup dependent? Either way, it is a problem for the Mets. I mean, David Stearns can talk about how, well, at this point in the season, it's about having our best players on the roster or best pitchers on the roster or best, you know, 13, 14, whatever it may be, okay, you want to have your – well, is Helsley one of those guys? Right now, the guy, he's an automatic run machine. I'm not trying to rip on the guy, but you can't trust him. That's a major problem. And the reason why it's magnified is because of the other major problem that they have with Sean Manaea not being able to give them any length. That's an issue because now you need more from your bullpen, and one of your biggest weapons that was supposed to be one of your biggest weapons with Helsley is not. You can't use him. He's unusable at this point. Unpitchable. You might as well put him in the same category as Frankie Montas. Unpitchable. And that's a problem. So while it's great to be excited and it's nice to have everybody back on the Mets bandwagon, oh, this wretched team. Those were the words that were being thrown out there with the New York Mets. And then just two wins against the Phillies. And by the way, it's not just the two wins against the Phillies. They did win two out of three in Atlanta and should have won more. And even with their awful stretch, you could tell that they should have won more of those games that they coughed up and lost. The offense is not just getting going. The offense has been going since August. It's the pitching that has killed them, and that's still a problem. So don't let the results fool you. Yes, you should get excited about it. Yes, it is about the results down the stretch here. Obviously, they need to win these games. But don't let the results fool you. Those issues still remain. Senga cannot pitch without extra rest. And even when he does, he's still not effective. And Manaea is not effective beyond four innings. Those are made up. How do you overcome that? How do the Mets overcome that? And the answer would be, well, they have a loaded bullpen, Sal. And I would say, you know what? You're right. That's the way to overcome it. Get to that bullpen early, especially in the postseason. But when you take out one of the key pieces in that bullpen with Helsley not being effective, now you've got a problem. So they're trying to figure this out on the fly. 30 games to go, fighting for their division lives tonight because a loss would officially bury them in the division. A win keeps hope alive. Still four back with 29 to go is not ideal, but you take it. You know, they're not going to win. You know, they're going to go 25-4 over these next, you know, final 29 games after tonight, even if they won. And it may take that. For whatever reason, think about it this way. When you, as it pertains to the division, the Mets have dominated the Phillies, right? Just losing two out of three in Philadelphia. Other than that, you know, they swept them early on. You could go back to last year if you want in the postseason, although they're different teams. So I don't know the relevance there necessarily, other than maybe it's just in the Phillies' head when they come play the Mets. And now the first two here and what, you know, it's not just the biggest games for the Mets. It's also the biggest games in the Phillies' season. But think about how bad this is that the Mets can dominate the Phillies head-to-head and still be significantly worse in the NL East. The Mets have owned the Phillies, but yet they're five games back still at this point. So what happens when the Phillies go away? You know, the Mets get back to their normal schedule, and the Phillies get back to their normal schedule. We are live here from the Salt Shack with Surfside. It's a fun day here. My home on Long Island. It's nice to be back. It's a great atmosphere, great event. It's very early in the morning, obviously. We'll get things started, although the volleyball fields here, the volleyball court, not looking good with the beach underwater. But this is a great setup. Fun to be out here. Enjoy a summer, you know, I was going to say summer Saturday. It's not even, I'm on vacation. This is the middle of my vacation here. It's Wednesday afternoon, and we're having fun. Looking forward to having some Surfsides here in the midst of this huge Phillies-Mets series. Of course, but we're live here from the Salt Shack. Come down if you're around the area. If you're not, give us a call, 888-808-1019. It's a bigger issue than just the results of the games last night for the Mets. They should not be five or seven games worse than the Phillies, obviously, which they were coming in, and now five after winning the first two. That's how poorly the Mets have played. They put themselves in this hole where there is no margin for error. The first two games of the series mean nothing without a sweep. Sweep the Phillies, and then we could talk. And even then, from there, there are some issues with this ball club that you have to have concerns about. Now, I'll still take my chances, get to the postseason. Hey, it's not just anybody can win once you get to the playoffs. It's that the Mets legitimately have pieces that you should believe in. Lindor, Soto, Alonso, Diaz, Rogers, they do have pieces that you can believe in. unfortunately, a couple of the main key pieces for this team have just not gotten the job done. And it got overlooked last night because they came back and won. If they didn't win that game, Helsley's going to get ripped, we know that. But the Manaea aspect of it, Manaea only going 4 2/3, that's going to get overlooked because the Mets won. Senga not being good in game one of the series is going to get overlooked because the Mets won. And that should not be the case. There are still big flaws when it comes to this ball club that with 30 games to go, you want to say, well, they got to figure it out. I don't know how you figure it out. Bringing Tong up is one solution potentially, but what do you expect now? So you expect Nolan McClain to come up and be perfect every start? He's not going to be perfect every start. What if he goes out there tonight and has a subpar performance? Not his fault. But it's that there's no wiggle room with this group. Tong, what if he comes up and doesn't have it and isn't dominant the way that he's been to start his career, in the minor league career, Double A and then Triple A? BT and Sal on the Fan. BT is off. He's enjoying a vacation. We're here live at the Soul Shack, hanging out with Surfside for the day. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Elvis is in Orange, Connecticut, starting us off. What's up, Elvis?
Hey, Sal. Did you watch the game last night?
I did.
All right, let me ask you something. How many pitches who's the guy that pitched in the eighth inning? I always forget his name.
Helsley.
Okay. The seventh inning.
Taylor Rogers.
Why didn't you bring him out?
Did you watch the game last night, Elvis? I mean, maybe I should be asking you that question.
Yeah. He only threw about 8 pitches.
Yeah, here's the thing, Elvis. I was texting about this, and thank you for the call. We appreciate you checking in.
No, don't hang up yet.
You got something else? Okay, get your other point, and then I'll answer that.
Because Mendoza is the one that would – he's the one that would have blew that game if Diaz didn't bail him out. You have no business bringing Hensley in. First of all, he can't even put the breaking ball over. It's like batting practice. They just sit there waiting for the fastball. How many times are you going to keep bringing the guy in? You only got 30 games left. You can't blow these games like this.
You can't anymore. You can't do it anymore. Go ahead.
No, he stinks. He has no business being in. And that guy only threw 8 pitches. They should have brought him out again. Why not?
Here's where I disagree, Elvis, and thank you for the call. I think it's a good point. I was texting about this in real time with Evan last night. And we've been texting a lot during these games here. It's crunch time. Met fans, I have these conversations. I know he's as locked in as anybody else. So we're texting about this in real time. And you could see it coming because everybody's thinking the same thing. Well, there's no way you can go with Helsley in this game. You've got to win this game. So what are the Mets going to do beyond Rogers? For me, and Evan said he entertained your thought process saying, because we talked about this before Rogers inning in the seventh, and it was more, well, Helsley to Diaz right away if there's any sign of trouble, because Brooks Raley not going to be available. I was thinking either Raley or Helsley for me would have been the eighth inning, and I would not have gone Diaz with 2 innings, because I told you that before. I'm not stretching him out when I know that they may need him in the final game of the series, which is just as important as the first two. Evan was saying that after the fact with Rogers, because it was such a quick inning, to your point, Elvis, that Evan would have brought him back out for the eighth. I would not have done that under any circumstance. Rogers is what he is. He is a very efficient, highly effective reliever for 1 inning. Start the clean inning with him. Don't bring him in. Mendy's got himself into a bad habit, bringing Rogers in with guys on base. Stop. Stop doing that. Rogers got to. You want to go to somebody else in that spot? Fair enough. You can't go to Rogers there. Let him start an inning. I don't care if it's the seventh. I don't care if it's the eighth. Maybe he does get moved up or moved back to the eighth inning. Maybe it is going to be matchup dependent. But Rogers, to me, should be a guy who pitches the start of a clean inning, and that's it. 1 inning. I don't care if it's 8 pitches, 30 pitches, 1 inning, that's it. You can't keep stretching these guys out and get them away from what makes them so effective. So I would not have entertained the idea of bringing back Rogers, even though it was just 7 or 8 pitches, whatever he threw. I personally would have done exactly what Mendoza did. I would have gone with Helsley there. Problem is, he was just saying, okay, well, we got a 2-run lead. There's some wiggle room. And if he gets in trouble, I'm going to be ready to go to Diaz. The problem is, Helsley's trouble was game-tied, 2-run bomb to Bader. You can't be thinking that he's going to be giving up a home. Helsley has stunk since he's been here. Obviously not been good. You can't imagine he's going to give up a 2-run tying homer to Bader. A lot would have to happen for that to be the case. And it happened. Walked the guy and then gave up, a two-run bomb that I think is still going. He can't put guys away with his fastball. So now, I think definitively, we've all seen, you could have said, well, you didn't want Helsley there. Well, what would you have done? Diaz for two innings? And then you take him out of play tonight? Now, obviously, he had to go to Diaz earlier than he would have liked to anyway, but that was an emergency situation, not doing it willingly ahead of the cause. So now I would agree that Helsley cannot be used in the eighth inning or any high-pressure situation. But that's a problem for them. So who's going to close out the game tonight? You're going to have Raley available. Okay, maybe Rodgers can pitch again because he threw the fewer pitches that he, you know, the amount of pitches he threw last night, seven or eight pitches. Fair enough. So you could have Rodgers again and then Raley. Are you going back to Diaz again? They might have to. Now you're really stretching him, and you're worried about his effectiveness. Point is, they had to go to Helsley at some point here to see if they could get him back on track. I thought last night was the right spot, coming off of the clean inning the night before. Two-run lead, so it's not just the one skinny run. And it was the bottom part of the order. He gave it up. He cannot be trusted moving forward. End of story. And that's a problem for the Mets. So while it's great that they've won these first two games and have got themselves back into the conversation for the division, A, they need a sweep to make it really stick and be in play. B, even with the win, there were some concerning things, some alarming things last night, specifically with Manaea and Helsley. BT and Sal on the Fan, BT on vacation. I'm here live at the Soul Shack here, hanging out with Surfside all day long out on Babylon, Long Island. Come by if you're in the area. Beautiful venue. 888-808-1019, the number to call. Back to your calls when we come back. That's where we're at with the Hells Bells. You never want to hear that again. Look, I like Ryan Helsley. I love the acquisition. I thought it was going to be a great move for the Mets. I even gave him, like, BT and I were arguing about this a couple weeks ago. He's like, oh, Helsley's toast, whatever. And I'm like, dude, it's been six outings, whatever it was. And now, obviously, I mean, you look at the numbers. He's given up, what, 12 runs or something, 11 outings? It's been ridiculous. You can't be worse than Helsley's been. Doesn't mean he'll never figure it out. We went through this with Devin Williams, although I think this is a lot worse. My issue is that the guy throws 101 miles an hour. He's not getting it by anybody. So you could throw it as hard as you want. When you throw it as straight as an arrow like he does, clearly it can be hit or at the very least fouled off to a point where you try to throw a secondary pitch and then he can't throw that for a strike. That's a major issue. And now, whatever shred of confidence Helsley had left, it's gone. And we're not in the business of repatching or repairing the fragile psyche of a player. Not with 30 games to go, you're not. And the Mets can talk about all they want. They don't have that luxury. Season's almost over here. You're fighting for a playoff spot. You're fighting for the division. You can't be worried about Ryan Helsley. Unfortunately, he's not getting the job done. Tell me a situation that the Mets should feel comfortable pitching Ryan Helsley in from now on with 30 games to go. He's in the Montas Club. I don't want to see him. At least with Helsley, you feel like maybe there's potential he could get it turned around, but he just had a clean inning two nights ago, and then you have him go out there last night and do that. Like, I think the... he might be able to be useful at some point over this final 30-game stretch. The idea of ever trusting him in a big spot again, I just don't think you can. I think it's over. The BT and Sal Show on the Fan is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of these New York Mets that we're talking about here. Hey, but they have won two straight against the Phils, working their way back into the division. And everybody's excited. Looking to go out there tonight, see if they can finish the job and get the sweep done. We are here live at the Salt Shack on Long Island, hanging out with Surfside for the day. Come by and say hello. Jerry Recco on his way here after he just did the morning show with Willie. Fun day in store for you. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the phones here on the Mets. Owen is calling from Connecticut. What's up, Owen?
What's going on, Sal? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it. What's up?
Just chatting about the Mets bullpen here. Obviously, you know, talk about Helsley's just not feeling it. He's just not it right now. I'm kind of getting the vibes with, you know, how David Peterson saved that game against the Brewers last year. What do you think about Tyler McGill coming back and taking that eighth inning role?
Yeah, I don't love that idea. It's not a bad one, Owen, and thank you for the call. I mean, look, the Mets are going to have to get creative here. So boil it down to exactly what Stern said, and that's why I've been calling for them to call up, you know, dating back to before McLain came up, McLain, Sproat, Tong. I mean, this is going on for weeks. We've been saying the same thing. And I am not like everybody else because, you know, Yankee fans, oh, Spencer Jones. You know, Met fans, whether it's last year, oh, Vientos or Alvarez, like everybody, Beatty, bring all these guys up. Bring them all up now. I am the exact opposite of that. So when I'm asking for them to call up somebody, it's with good reason, not just because I want to see the new shiny toy that we know nothing about from the minor league system. There was reason to want to see Sproat, McLain, Tong. Twofold. Number one, because those guys, especially McLain and Tong, who are the first two up here, Sproat's still not here, those two guys have earned a look, combined with the fact that the Mets need it. It's an area of need. Like, they got to a point where it was just desperation. Hey, I understand that it may be too soon to call up Tong. There's a risk that you're taking there. It's a risk the Mets have to take. I'd rather take that risk based off of his dominance and their need and have him fall flat on his face than not have him come up here at all. You cannot sit on that type of weapon. Same thing with McLain. They pushed it, finally bring him up. Look what he's done to the rotation in just two starts. Doesn't mean it's going to continue. It means that they had no choice but to go to these guys. It's not just for me, one size fits all. Bring him up. I think a lot of people do that. I'm not one of them. This was a unique circumstance. You just felt that the time was right. They needed it. The players performed as such. They're desperate. Give it a shot. And they're now doing that. Now, with that being said, back to your Tylor Megill point, I am not a fan of Tylor Megill. I would not trust him in a big spot ever. You want to tell me he could be a useful piece at some point down the stretch? Maybe. I'm looking to have the best pitchers on the roster, period. Worry about how you use them after you assemble the best pitchers on the roster. Does Tylor Megill really fit one of those roles? I know Montas wouldn't. He's on there, obviously, because of the money or whatever that he's making. Fine. That's why the Mets keeping him. Otherwise, you cut him. Stanek, Reed Garrett got hurt, so obviously he could go on the IL, and you could avoid having to send him down, whatever it may be. I'm looking to get the best arms on this roster and then figure out how to use them. Maybe Megill can work himself into that conversation. For me, I'd rather go to Sproat before I would go to Tylor Megill. I'd rather use Tong in a high-leverage situation out of the bullpen. Although maybe he's going to take over as a main piece in this rotation. We'll see what happens on Friday night. Rob is in Oyster Bay. What's up, Rob?
How's it going, man?
Good, Rob. How are you?
Good, man. See what happens when the Mets play good baseball? You buy tickets. I bought tickets for tonight. I'm about to see Cowboy Ohtani. But you hit it on the head, the bullpen, bro. Ryan Helsley, man, that was a great acquisition, like you said, but he just doesn't have it. Doesn't have the swing and miss stuff. I do like Tylor Megill in the eighth inning or even in the bullpen because I like Brandon Sproul in the rotation when he comes up. But I don't know. I don't know how you feel about Sproul coming out of the pen. But, yeah, they need to figure it out and get creative, like you said.
Well, they move. So, yeah, thanks for the call, Rob. Enjoy the game tonight. Yeah, fans are excited. That's what I was saying before. I have a hard time. How come I was fighting so many of y'all for 3 weeks here? Team is wretched. Team stinks. This team's awful. They're going nowhere. And now all of a sudden, two measly wins against the Phillies while also showing significant flaws in those two wins, and everybody's back. Like, you're ignoring the same things that you were calling up ripping the team about just because they won these games. It's not always about the result. It's not about the result. As somebody who's maintained the even keel for the most part with the Mets, you have to acknowledge that the closer we get to the end of the season, the bigger their flaws become, especially when you talk about a potential ace and an eighth inning guy. Those are two of the most important reasons that you would have success in the postseason. Their ace is Sean Manaea. He can't go more than four innings. That's a major freaking problem. Their eighth inning weapon, Helsley, was their biggest trade deadline acquisition. He's been a total bust. Like, we're talking Billy Taylor territory. Look him up for you youngins. Look up Billy Taylor. You remember him off, Billy Taylor?
No.
Okay, they traded for Billy Taylor. He was a great closer with the A's. He came to the Mavericks. What was that, 98, 99, something like that? He was awful. Maybe it was even 2000. I forget. Nah, maybe it was 99. Anyway, point is, look him up. He was awful, and he was supposed to be great. I mean, Helsley was their prized acquisition at the trade deadline, not Cedric Mullins. Yeah, Tyler Rogers is good. Helsley was the move. Luckily for them that they still have some options. Soto, Rayleigh. Like right now, I always would go by, if you go to the bullpen, I would go a triangle of trust you'd want. The way that bullpens have evolved and the way that starters don't go deep anymore, forget the Mets specifically for a second, you have to go more than the triangle of trust and you kind of go to a square. The Mets then, at the deadline, went and built themselves a bullpen where they had five guys that you could trust. Diaz, Rogers, Raleigh, Soto, and Helsley. Well, now it's down to four, which is still serviceable. If you get five or six innings from your starting pitchers. That's a big if. Soto, Raleigh, Diaz, Rogers. That's it. Tell me the other arm you trust out of there. Could it be Sproat? I don't know. Sproat's one outing out of the bullpen this year in the minor leagues didn't go very well. Now, does that translate? I have no idea what that means. Maybe it doesn't mean anything. It's worth a look, and maybe Tyler McGill will be worth a look. Here's the problem. There's no margin for error here. Whether you talk about the division, whether you talk about a playoff spot, like, this is not a time to be evaluating and learning about guys. You're just going to throw Tyler McGill to the fire in the eighth inning with a one-run lead? Not me. I'm not. It's the square of trust for me. That's it. Square of trust or bust. Diaz, Rogers, Raleigh, Soto. Not Stanek. Not Garrett if he were healthy. That's it. Now, maybe Tong or Sproat could earn their way in there. Again, I don't know how they're going to use Tong. Obviously, he's going to start on Friday. Maybe he's a mainstay there starting. Maybe they figure they could use him out of the pen eventually. But for now, there's only four guys that I would trust. Back to your calls in a little bit. 888-808-1019. This summer, stay cool and hydrated with the official water of Major League Baseball, Primo Brands. With Primo Brands water delivery, you get premium hydration from trusted brands like Poland Spring, Pure Life, and Saratoga delivered right to your door. Stock up for game day or just keep everybody refreshed. Still sparkling or flavored, there's something for everyone. And the best part, you call the shots. Whether you need a few cases or a full week supply, Primo's flexible delivery fits your schedule. So step up to the plate, hydrate like a pro with Primo Brands, the official water sponsor of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. A Yankee fan should be excited that the team playing well, but you should also acknowledge that it's against crappy teams, and this is what the Yankees do. They bludgeon crappy teams. I would expect it to continue today. One thing is, you want to get Judge going on. You know, Stan's on a heater, and Stan's not in the lineup today. And that's, you know, obviously par for the course as well. I got to be honest. You know I love Boone. I can't take these lineups with the Yankees. I just can't take them seriously. When they sit Volpe, when they play Volpe, when they sit Dominguez, it's not a surprise to anybody. But that doesn't mean it still can't be infuriating. These things, I bet you if we talked to Boone today, he'd tell me what the lineups are for the final 30 games of the year. Like, that's how far out they have it mapped out. It's ridiculous. It's got to stop. But it's not going to stop. So I'm tired of yelling about it. Anyway, you got Grisham in there leading things off in center field. This is the lineup that I actually like outside of not having Stan in there. By the way, Judge, before we get to the rest of the lineup, Judge made that big fuss a week ago about Aaron Boone. What Boone said, that he's probably not going to be able to throw at 100% the rest of the way. Is Judge playing the outfield? What happened? I thought it was going to be, maybe St. Louis, maybe Boston. What's going on here? How many weeks is it before Judge is going to be in the outfield? Big, bad Aaron Judge, who, God forbid, the manager speaks with some honesty, and it wasn't even a knock on the guy. Big, bad Aaron Judge? No, I don't know where he got that. He hasn't seen me throw. Nobody's seen you throw. You can't take the field. Get in the outfield. Good God. He has a lot to say, but yet he can't get in the outfield yet, which is annoying because then the Yankees don't have their hottest bat in the lineup. So which is it, Judgy? You're going to get back to full 100% health? Or are you just mad because you can't get out there, so you take it out on the manager, who goes over out of his way and bends over backwards to protect this ball club? Lousy ball club at times, I might add. The Yankees. We had the Yankees a couple years ago. We are the Yankees missing the ball. But, you know, whatever song I had on the overnight. Get it, Yankees? Y-A-N-K-K-K. And now it's the Y-A-N-K-E-E-E. Yankees. All they do is miss the ball. Can't field it. Can't throw it. Back to the lineup. Grisham leading off. Ben Rice hitting second. You got Judge at DH third. Bellinger four. See, I like that. 1, 2, 3, 4, and then it should be Stanton behind him, but it's not because Stanton's not in the lineup today. Jazz is behind Bellinger. Lots of lefties. Dominguez in there behind Jazz. Volpe back in the lineup. He's playing short as well, so it's nice to see him back in there. Austin Wells catching. McMahon at third, and then Max Fried on the mound. It'd be a big start for Max Fried with the Yanks, but again, it's against the Nationals. Nationals stink. what do you expect? I expect the Yankees to go out there and bury him. We know what the Yankees are. That's the big difference from them and the Mets. The Yankees are no doubt about it a postseason team. We've known that for a long time. I still think a team that can win the division. You watch these final 30 games. How the Yankees are going to go on some kind of run because they have crappy teams on their schedule. That is a part of the equation. When we're evaluating these teams over the last couple of weeks, knowing what the Yankees do, the Yankees will bludgeon bad teams to death. That's what they do. It's not a knock. It's the reality. And the only question with them is going to be, when they get in the postseason, will their big bats continue to hit? You have to like the state of their bullpen better than you did earlier in the year. You like the state of the rotation. Schlittler has been a revelation for them. If they can, you know, heel is heel, Rodon's Rodon. If they can get Freed back to being Freed, they're going to have a shot here. Doval in the bullpen could be a weapon, even though, you know, I know he's been inconsistent. Williams writing things. The Yankees have the pieces. The biggest question to me is going to be, can they hit in the postseason, which is something that they usually fall short of doing in comparison to what they do in the regular season. Let's get back to the phones here with the Mets. One other thing before we get back to the phones on the Mets. How much time I got here, Alf? I got a few minutes. Quickly, the other thing that bothered me last night, Pete Alonso cannot throw the ball. He is a liability at first base. He injured Kodai Senga earlier in the year, and that set Senga's season off to the wrong track. He obviously, even when he came back, and he came back sooner than expected, but he's been nowhere near where he was before he got hurt, leaping for that throw that Alonso, you know, the bad throw from Alonso. Last night, he almost got Diaz killed. It's clearly a mental thing. I'm not trying to pick on Pete. He's been the most impactful offensive player that the Mets have had this year. We love him, home run king, all that stuff. The reality is he cannot throw the baseball. He certainly can't throw it on the play where the pitcher's covering first base. Not only can he not throw it, he's going to get another pitcher hurt, as he almost did with Edwin Diaz last night. He's got to fix it. It's the yips. It's the Steve Sachs, Chuck Knobloch, Mackie Sasser thing. Whatever's going on with Alonso, he's got to fix it. Can't have that happen. Can't have it happen and cost the Mets an out, let alone getting somebody hurt. That's a major problem with Pete Alonso. I want him back. I want him back as a DH, not as a first baseman. Alex is calling from Midland, Texas. What's up, Alex?
Hey, Sal. I've been listening to you since the pandemic. I was looking at the upcoming schedule, and the Phillies, of course, have Atlanta this weekend at home. Hopefully the Braves can take care of business. Hopefully the Mets can beat the Marlins, and the Phillies go to Milwaukee next week. So the division is still in front of the Mets, for sure.
Alex, the one thing, and first of all, we appreciate your listening loyalty. The one thing I would say as far as the division goes, if the Mets don't win tonight, the division is back off the table as far as I'm concerned. I held out longer than most saying that the division wasn't over because I really believed. You know, a big part of why I held out hope, I don't think the Phillies are that good. Keith Hernandez said it yesterday on the Mets pod, and he's right. The Phillies are overrated. They're not that good. They're better than the Mets have been throughout the course of the regular season, not head-to-head, but I don't think they're that good. So when you look at the – or as far as – I shouldn't say that. Look, they're good relative to, you know, the rest of the league, sure. I'm talking about a team that – this is not the Braves of 2022 when they came back and, you know, stormed the Mets from behind and, you know, swept them and won the NL East on the last day, whatever it may be. They're not that good. This is not some juggernaut team. The Phillies were also disposed of last year after winning the division rather quickly by the Mets in the division series. So I was never scared of the Phillies. That's a big part of why I held out belief that the Mets were going to win the division. However, it gets to a certain point where the Mets continue to cough these games up. Mathematically, seven games back with 32 to go, it's nearly impossible. Nearly impossible. And the only way where they'd even have a shot is if they sweep the Phillies. So before you start looking at the Marlins and the Braves and the Brewers, meaning the upcoming schedules for the Mets and the Phillies respectively, you got to focus on tonight. If the Mets don't win tonight, the division's over. They'd be six games back with 29 to play. Just not. I don't care if they play the Phillies four more times. So they have to win tonight. Then you could start talking division. And then you could start worrying about the Marlins, who aren't bad. And they got good pitching. So before we get to the NL East, Mets got to win tonight. That's up first. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan, live here at the Salt Shack in Babylon, Long Island. Here hanging out with Surfside all day. Come by and stop by if you're in the area. 888-808-1019. You know what's odd? I don't know if you knew this, Hoff. Today is the first day of school. Like, my daughter went to her first day of school today. I was like, sorry, Daddy's got to go to do work. I'm on vacation, yes, but I'm going to go do the show out on Long Island. I didn't even get a chance to see her for her first day of school. It's August 27th. What are we doing with first day of school? Your kids have school?
No, they're still off. No, they're still off.
Is that a Jersey thing?
I must be, because I'm telling you right now, Westchester, they're still chilling. The feet are up.
Yeah,
they're relaxing.
I don't know, man.
After Labor Day. Right?
I would think. It's August 27th. I want to enjoy the summer. Like, come on. I mean, I guess you could enjoy it, too, with the kids going back to school. But in our case, no, I need Sammy home. We gotta, you know, want to go to a water park maybe tomorrow, whatever it may be. Where the hell is I going with that? I don't know. But it is the first day of school in some spots. Here, it's a beautiful beach day, nice and cool, not too hot. Surf sides are flowing. So if you're in the area, come by and say hello. I know Jerry Reckle will be here. Him and I will be hanging out all afternoon long at the Salt Shack in Babylon. 888-808-1019. Obviously a big game going on tonight with the Mets and the Phillies. Mets looking for the sweep. And that's the only thing to me that would make them still be in the, you know, the division hunt here. If they don't sweep tonight, you can forget about that. And also, I'll take it a step further. It's not really about the division. Of course, we all want the Mets to win the division. If you're a Mets fan, you want the Mets to win the division. But as long as they get in, they can do damage. It's not, oh, anybody could get in the playoffs and go, you know. No, yeah. I mean, you get in the playoffs, you hope anything can happen, but there's reason to believe that the Mets can be a dangerous team if they were, in fact, to get into the postseason. So even if you miss out on the division, nothing, you know, everything is still there. I'm not to hate to use the Boone cliche. Everything is still right there in front of them, but it is. Other than the big concern about who's your eighth inning pitcher, because Helsley is not that. And by the way, you saw the Phillies prize acquisition at the trade deadline. Johan Duran get roughed up last night with the Mets. And Nimmo gets credit for the walk-off hit. Really, it was Marte came up with the big hit. It's the guys who got on before him that set the table for a game that you knew once the Mets had second and third with nobody out, they were going to win that game regardless of who came up. So, yes, Nimmo got the job done in the big spot, but really Marte has given the Mets some quality at bat, just a pro, even in, you know, with declined skills. And I don't love the idea of having him hitting in the three-hole, but it's worked out with Mendy going with either Nimmo or Marte in that three-hole. Between Soto and Alonso, it's worked out for him in recent days here. The Mets lineup has been on fire. Vientos catching fire, so that's good to see with the offense. But even the Phillies prize acquisition at the deadline, Duran getting roughed up last night. So it's not just Helsley, although Duran has been significantly better than Helsley. But the Philly fans got to be upset. This was their big games of the year, too. Two biggest games of the year, and they've gotten punked yet again by the Mets. But all it takes is one win for Philadelphia tonight. They are back in control, back in the driver's seat as far as it pertains to the NL East. So the Mets need to make sure they finish the job, make these first two wins stick, and go sweep the Phils and really get back into the hunt for the division. Anthony is on Staten Island. What's up, Ant?
What's up, Sal? I have the answer for the eighth inning role. We have a two-time All-Star who was at Clay Holmes. He's at his pitch limits. We could bring Sproat up to take his start instead of using him as a reliever, which he's never done before, and put Holmes in the eighth inning. He's done it before. I think that's the move.
I think that's probably the best solution that I've heard so far, Anthony, and it's something, and thank you for the call. It's something that I've thought about prior to this last two-week stretch. Matter of fact, I tweeted about it a couple of weeks ago. After Holmes' rough start, I don't know if it was not his last time, definitely. I think it was two starts ago. And he had another rough start, not given any length. I said, move Holmes to the bullpen, call up Tong and Sproat. It might have even been before McClain got called up. So that's not a bad solution. The problem is that I think Holmes is one of their best three starters. Right now, and we're talking about, I guess you could be talking about regular season. I'm talking about postseason here. Right now, I would say that Peterson would be my lock number one, game one starter. I think you'd have to have McClain, even though it's been two starts, and we'll see what happens tonight. But I'm just going in order of confidence that I have in these starters. McClain would be number two. I think Holmes would be number three. I don't trust Kodai Senga. You trust Kodai Senga right now? And I trust Manaea, but I trust him in spurts. So maybe the way to start Manaea would be to have a piggyback. Maybe it's Holmes and Manaea in a game. Or, to your point, if you have Sproat get called up, you know, Tong is already here. Could it be Tong and then have somebody piggyback him in that rotation? Could it be somebody piggybacking Senga, Manaea? Like, the Mets can have a combination of, if you start, let's say you start Holmes, have then Manaea finish the game.
And now that gives you length, obviously, but you have two guys doing it. Or if it's Manaea and then you have Sproat piggyback him. Like, there are ways to do it. As of right now, it seems like the plan is to be a starter with Tong. I would have had him come out of the bullpen, but maybe he could start. I mean, can you imagine a rotation of the postseason with Peterson, McLain, and Tong? And if you do that, then you can move Holmes back to the bullpen. But I guess my question would be, who's starting in the postseason? And then from there, who are you going to have in the bullpen? And yes, you would think a natural transition, because Holmes was a very good reliever, you would think maybe it'd be easier to move him back to the bullpen, and then you could have him be your seventh, eighth inning guy, whatever, because he's going to give you at least two innings. He could give you two good innings. That's one way to help. I like it. But if you do that, who's starting, let's just say, game three? We don't know about Tong yet. McLain's only had two starts. Maybe Tylor Megill could give you, you know, five innings along the way here, these final 30 games. I'm pushing it forward to the postseason, and I think all possibilities exist once you get to the playoffs, but maybe we shouldn't go that far just yet with the Mets not there yet. John is calling from Staten Island. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, Sally boy? How are you?
Good, John. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. Here's my issue. I'm excited the Mets are playing better. I'm excited that they're hitting. But I have a real problem with Juan Soto right now. I've noticed, I watch every game like you do, he gets more frustrated when the umpire calls a ball a strike than when he strikes out. I have to worry about the bullpen. I got to worry about starting pitching. They should move him to the leadoff spot because he does not want to swing the bat.
No, I would not.
He does not.
He doesn't know how to swing the bat.
He doesn't want to swing the bat.
Yeah, no, that's not true.
He's looking for walks.
He has 32 home runs.
How does he have 120 walks then?
How does he have 132? How does he have 32 home runs?
Yes, of course.
John, that's what Soto does. He's not been at his best. By the way, now's not the time to pick on Soto. 20 games in, time to pick on Soto. Runners in scoring position. Go ahead.
I understand what you're saying. I love the fact that he's competitive and he wants to get on base because that's a win. All I'm saying is I don't love Marte in between him and Alonso. I would move him to the leadoff spot because what could it hurt?
Oh, none yet, but he's going to hit one, and thank you for the call, John. I understand the thought process. Evan's been going hard on this, on the afternoon show, talking about Soto should be leading off. I'm not doing it. I think it's a stupid idea. I would never have a player with Juan Soto's skill set leading off. I don't care how many solo home runs he's hit this year, how many three-run homers he had. I don't care. I would never, ever, ever in a million years have Juan Soto lead off. Now, I will agree with you that I don't like Marte or Nimmo in between Soto and Pete. It's not that hard. It should be Lindor, Soto, Alonso. You want to tell me you want to have Nimmo in between Pete and Vientos? I'm okay with that. But I would not have Marte, even though he's been okay, or Nimmo in between Pete and Soto. That, to me, is stupid. Pete's been their most prolific run producer this year. He's got to be up behind Soto. And you're picking on Soto because he has 100 walks. I mean, that's a big deal. You know, you guys call him Juan Solo. I call him 100. Everything in the hundreds. Now, he's got to get the ribbies up there, but I still think it's possible. He's at, 78, something like that, RBI? If he has a hot month in September, which he's very capable of doing, we've seen it before, he's going to have 100 runs scored, 100 walks, 100 ribbies, obviously over 100 hits. Juan Solo? 100! Zach is calling from Long Island. What's up, Zach?
I think we both kind of believe in the Mets to a certain extent. I think in order for them to win the World Series and not just, you know, kind of do some damage in the playoffs, it's going to have to come down to they need McLain and Tong to be frontline starters. They just don't have enough guys aside from them. It's possible, right? I mean, they have the potential. McLain's shown it already. I think that's their ticket to actually win the World Series because without him, I just don't think they'll have enough.
You know, Zach, I like that you go there, and thank you for the call. And obviously there are tasks at hand prior to the World Series. Tonight, specifically, win tonight, cut the division lead to 4, and now you're back in play for everything. And then it's going to be a final 29 games. It's going to be a battle with the Phillies. You hope that that's the case. And then if not, then it's getting to the playoffs. And then from there, you could start talking about the World Series. But you're right in that this team was built to compete to win a World Series. And try to do the math as to how they're going to get there, not as far as the games or how many wins, but with the pitching staff in the playoffs. They don't have an ace. Peterson's their best pitcher. You want to call him an ace? I'm fine. I mean, he was an all-star, but you get the point. Peterson is their best pitcher. He's game one. Fair enough. Manaea has not been the ace that they thought he could be, although he's been dominant just in spurts. Senga, I would not trust, period. Like, I would not. Me, personally, this is drastic. I don't care. I would not. As it stands right now, August 27th, I would not have Kodai Senga on my postseason roster, period. You saw what he did in the postseason last year. Wasn't very good. I know he's out the entire year for the most part. Fair enough. I've seen enough from Senga. Now he's got to get himself righted here in the next 30 days. As of right now, I would not have Senga on the roster because I don't think you could trust him out of the bullpen, and I wouldn't trust him as a starter. So where does he fit exactly? Problem is with Tong, there's the potential there, yes, but there's the unknown. His dominance to me would play, just my opinion, would play better out of the bullpen. Now, I have to trust the Mets that they know what they're doing, although I think they were a day late and a dollar short as far as bringing up McLean and Tong here. I would have done it weeks ago. They waited till they felt it was right. Okay, fair enough. I'll trust them that they feel the best role for Tong as of now is to be in the starting rotation. But I would trust him more out of the pen. Now, if he goes out there and his lights out as a starter and you find two, think of the odds of that. You're going to have two starters be lights out coming up from the minor leagues with McLean and Tong. That's going to help you in the postseason. Like, the odds against that are astronomical. Doesn't mean it can't happen, but you're asking a lot. But they do need, I don't know if I would say definitively as a starter, both McLean and Tong, one of them, yes, but they will need those guys to contribute in some way, shape, or form in big spots in the postseason, whether it is as a starter or out of the bullpen. And remember, if you actually do the math and lay it out with Manaea, Senga, Peterson, McLean, and Holmes, that's five guys right there. Throw in Tong, that's six. Sproat, Tylor Megill, just to give you an extra arms here. Like, they're going to have a nice pool to choose from to where they can trim the fat and get rid of the guys who can't get anybody out and decide how they are best going to use these guys. I think so far the only two givens, at least in my mind, even in just the two starts with McLean, the only two givens that I would have is that Peterson and McLean would be definitive starters come the postseason. From there, the options are, do you have Holmes start and Manaea piggyback him? Do you have Manaea start and Holmes piggyback him? Do you have both start and Tong or Sproat or Megill piggyback them? Like, there are options there. Do you move one of those guys to the eighth inning? They at least have some options that you can see the pieces put together for a team that could be a championship team. BT and Sal on the Fan, live here at the Salt Shack on Long Island, hanging out with Surfside for the day. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Phil is calling from Dublin, PA. What's up, Phil?
Hey there, Sal. How are you?
Good. How are you, Phil?
Good, good. I really feel like Aaron Judge is hurting the team at this point because, again, Stanton is going back to sitting on the bench tonight. And yeah. Who is carrying the team right now? Stanton. And I think that for the next four games, the reason being it's Washington and Chicago, that Aaron Judge should sit on the bench and heal and get his act together because he hasn't been the same player. And I want Stanton in the lineup. And then I want a healthy Judge. And I think if he gets 3-4 days off, he's going to come back and be 100%.
You know, that's a thing that, and thank you for the call, Phil, that's a thing that we said early when Judge came back. You know, you understood taking Stanton out of the lineup because it's Aaron Judge. However, Stanton was in the midst of a heater, and that heater is still going on. So it's impossible to fathom taking him out of the lineup for anybody. But It's big, bad Aaron Judge. If Judge really wanted to do what was best for the team, he'd say, you know what, I'm going to sit down until I'm ready to play the outfield. I know it sounds crazy. It sounds ludicrous. The reality is, to your point, Stan's carrying them offensively right now. He's on the heater. You're going to take him out. Judge has not been peak Aaron Judge. He's struggled since coming back. Ultimately, you need to have both guys in the lineup. Stan's tried to do his part by being in the outfield. Obviously, it's not going to be a regular thing for him. Can't do it on back-to-back days. Or, you know, can't do it for the most, you know, he did the back-to-back days and then said his body wasn't responding. I don't know how it's possible when you're built the way that John Carlos Stan is built. But either way, Judge talked tough and ripped his manager when his manager said he doesn't think Judge will ever be able to throw 100% or whatever it was that he said to us. And John Boy, by the way, he said that a couple of different times. It wasn't even a big deal. Like, it's a fact. Judge is not going to be 100% again throwing the ball in right field. How about this? Can we actually get him in the outfield? You don't need 100% of Judge's arm. You do need Judge and Stan in the lineup together, especially when Stan's on this heater. So, yeah, it is hurting the team. Luckily for them, they're playing the Nationals now, and the schedule softens up. But how could you justify ever taking John Carlos Stan's out of the bat out of the lineup when he's on this type of run? You can't. Ralph is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Ralph?
They do that, Sal, because every single thing, you touched on it, it prompted my call. Every single thing that they do is predetermined. It doesn't matter that if he hit four home runs yesterday, he'd be sitting on the bench today. That's exactly how they see it. And that 100-pitch count drives me insane, but I don't want to get into this. But the one thing that I like to talk about is the way it's situated, where you have your sixth-inning guy, your seventh-inning guy, eighth-inning, so on and so forth. This whole strategy, this whole protocol has to go by the boards. You have to manage by the hot hand, whether it's offense, defense, pitching. You have to put these guys in the spot they can excel, and they just don't do that. Because, Sal, as you mentioned, and you were quite right, every single thing is predetermined. 30 games, 30-some-odd games left in the season, Sal. They have everything down. You could bet that Boone has a little book where he has everything down, what he's going to do tomorrow, the next day after that. There's nothing spontaneous whatsoever going on.
It drives me nuts, Ralph, and thank you for the call. And I'm not opposed to information. I'm not opposed to matchup-based stuff at times. What I'm opposed to is having it 100% determined ahead of the time, ignoring what you might see. Forget about what you are seeing. They are ignoring what they might see in tonight's game because they've already predetermined Volpe's going to – I'm just using an example here. Volpe's going to have 2 days off the next couple of days. Or remember, this happened in June when we were at Fanatics Fest. Volpe was told he was going to have off the next day or something like that. He was in the midst of one of his many slumps this year. Really, the whole season's been a slump. I mean, not everybody's going to acknowledge that, but it's the reality. Whole season's been a slump, a disaster, a failure by any measurement. Show me the stats. Show me whatever you want. I'm watching with my own eyes. It's been an awful year. For a guy that they said was going to be a superstar shortstop, it's been pathetic what Anthony Volpe's done this year. I'm not trying to pick on him. I'm just calling it how it is. He's been awful. How many times you got to go through these ruts throughout the course of 1 year, one season? When it says he's got to be benched, he should be sent down, he's not hitting. Like, it's been all year long. It's all year long with Volpe. Anyway, in June, we were at the Fanatics Fest. It was the day that Clark Schmidt almost threw the no-hitter. And I think Volpe was supposed to have the day off the next day or something like that. And he goes nuts and has three hits in that game. But yet he sat the next day because it was predetermined. That's stupid. All these guys, baseball thinks that it's gotten smart. They think that they've gotten smarter than everybody else. They're not. They're dumber. They're just getting dumber by the day. With all these metrics and all this nonsense. So much so that you hear now, and you heard this on the broadcast, I think it was on Sunday night against the Red Sox, that when it comes to catching, and it's important as it pertains to Ben Rice, who the Yankees love as a catcher, only issue is he can't throw and he's not good at blocking balls. Is that it? Is that it? Where I come from, that's what catching is. You catch the ball, you block the ball, you throw a runner out. Yeah, obviously calling a game is a part of that, but that's what catching is. So now we're going to dismiss that? And that's what they do. But baseball's too smart now. They're so smart that block balls doesn't matter. It's all about framing. Framing. That's how smart baseball has gotten with these Ivy League guys. All the data, all the information, all the analytics, they're so smart that they can predetermine lineups a week out, a week ahead of time, without seeing what happens in tonight's game. We can predetermine something. Like that to me is stupid. I didn't go to an Ivy League school, though, so what do I know? This summer, stay cool and hydrated with the official water of Major League Baseball, Primo Brands. With Primo Brands water delivery, you get premium hydration from trusted brands like Poland Spring, Pure Life, and Saratoga delivered right to your door. Stock up for game day or just keep everyone refreshed, still sparkling or flavored. There's something for everyone. And the best part, you call the shots. Whether you need a few cases or a full week supply, Primo's flexible delivery fits your schedule. So step up to the plate, hydrate like a pro with Primo Brands, the official water sponsor of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. And even Williams early on, like, you could see that he was pitching to a little bit bad luck. Talk about the first time he was bad, to start the year. That's why I'm hesitant to give up on relievers. There was never a player, or a reliever specifically, that I was more definitive on being toast in New York than Edwin Diaz. Wasn't going to say that he couldn't write his career and be successful somewhere else. The way Diaz started his Mets career in 2019, I would never, I've said it a million times here, SNY, he will never have success in New York. And years later, now there's been some inconsistency, sure, but after what he did in 2022, I mean, he was one of the best relievers I've ever seen. And then again this year, look at him last night, just blowing guys away. They're not even touching him. Five out save, six outs could be for Diaz. He has been lights out. A little shaky sometimes, and the fact that he ignores the runners drives you nuts. But, man, he has – I think Edwin Diaz is the best closer in the history of the Mets. I'm not talking about numbers or compiling for how many years. I'm talking about sheer dominance in individual seasons. And I love Johnny Franco, and you can make the case that he's the best closer. Maybe Johnny himself would do it. Familia had excellent season 2015, 2016, both times. I don't think that you could compare to Edwin Diaz dominance in 2022 and then again this year. He has just been lights out. All right, let's get back to the calls here. We're going to have Clem from Surfside on coming up in a little bit as we got to rekindle our bet here. And I will say that the spot was scheduled prior to the Mets taking the first two. And it's going to be a lot more fun from my perspective with the Mets taking the first two as we have that bet going on with the division here. But before we get to Clem from Surfside, let's get to Clem from Rockland, who loves his Surfside. What's up, Clem?
You know, it's funny. As my daughter, we're dropping her off Friday to Fairfield University, and she told my wife, can we go here? Can we go there to buy pillow covers, this, that, whatever? And then she comes to me, hey, Dad, any chance you can pick me up 10 cases, 5 lemonade, 5 tea, you know, for Fairfield. So I'm going to head to our neighborhood liquor store later and get her Surfsides and pack them up in a secret suitcase so my wife doesn't see, because she's not as, like, party-oriented as I am. So my daughter always knows to go to where to go when she needs her Surfsides. And by the way, remind Clem, he forgot about brother Clem.
No, he said he sent it. They sent it. I was told that they sent it to you. Yeah, so come on.
I hope the UPS guy ain't getting drunk on my Surfside.
No, I was told that I could ask Clem, but I was told your package has been on the way. By the way, I know you're in Rockland, but you should come down to Babylon here at the Salt Shack. We got Surfside flowing all day long. It's great. I can't wait to get some myself once we sign off here. The second I sign off and you hear those commercials going to the Yankee pregame, I'm going to be having some Surfsides. Anyway, what do you got? What's on your mind, Clem?
You should. All right, so listen, this is what I need. There's a lot of different things that can obviously happen the next few months in baseball. But the only way to really know where the Mets will be is I need Sal Stradamus right now to look deep, deep, deep into his crystal ball and see and tell me where will the Mets be in October. I'll hang up and hopefully I'll see you later for some Surfsides.
What? When you say where will they be, you mean where will they end up in October?
Yeah. Will we be playing baseball still, or will we be watching from the outside? Will we be golfing? Will we be drinking Surfsides? You know.
Sal Stradamus needed to know, Clement. Thank you for the call, and we appreciate you checking in. Sal Stradamus needs to just figure out, get the parameters of what do you mean by where they'll be come October. And as I look into the crystal ball, I do see the postseason for the Mets. I felt that for a while. If they didn't make the playoffs, it would be a freaking disaster. Now, it's twofold. Like, you could just say, well, yeah, the Mets are going to make the playoffs. Okay, well, why are they going to make the playoffs? Number one, I do believe the Mets are a good team. Now, are they good enough to World Series standards? That's a different conversation. But I do believe the Mets are a good team, a team worthy of a playoff spot. Secondly, I don't think the Reds are very good. Like, we don't watch the Reds every day, but come on. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that if the Mets can't beat out the Reds for the final wild card, what are we doing here? This is New York. They get the highest payroll in the sport. Oh, and by the way, it's not just about the money you spend. They actually have good players. The Reds? Come on. If they got caught by the Reds, it would be worse than the collapse. Maybe not the individual collapse in 2007, meaning 7-game lead, 17 to go. Like, that in itself is bad. But as far as the result goes, I think this would actually be worse than that. I really do. Not make the playoffs with an expanded postseason? With their payroll? Were you kidding? So, yes, Clem. As Sal Stradamus looks into the crystal ball, I do see playoffs. I also see there's something. What is that? Hold on, let me dig a little bit deeper. What am I seeing there? I see a 2. No, it's not a 2. Oh, 22. I see 22 on fire. What could that mean, Hoff? I see the number 22 catching fire as I look into the crystal ball. You have any idea what that might mean?
I hope it's not Halsey running out.
No, 22. Okay. The number 22. Just the number, like if you envision. 22. I can't see clearly. Sal Stradamus looking into the future. Hoff, this shouldn't be that hard. 22.
Right.
The number 22 on fire. Do you know what that would mean, if anything, as it pertains to the Mets?
Oh, wait. Mississauga?
Soto. I see the Mets in October, and I see 22 on fire. Are we taking a break here? Okay, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back. We'll have a little fun with Clem from Surfside. Get his thoughts as this Philly's on the verge of choking things away. Four distinct all-electric Cadillacs. Some drive them for the performance. Others drive them for the range. And some drive them because it's the only way to make an entrance. Three different ways to turn every drive into an occasion. Whatever your reason, there's never been a better time to say, let's take the Cadillac. The all-electric Lyriq Cadillac family of vehicles, Escalade IQ, the Vistiq, Optiq, and Lyriq. Visit your Tri-State Cadillac dealer today. The BT and Sal Show is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. Come by if you're on the island. It is a great venue. The surf sides are flowing. I can't wait to get off the air so I can have some. Got to be responsible. Right now, the man responsible for a wager that we have here on the BT and Sal Show, Clem. Clem from Surfside joins us. We had Clem from Rockland, who loved Surfside before. Clem from Philly, of course, huge Phillies fan and Sixers fan and Eagles fan. If you're not familiar with it, we had a bet months ago, Clem, when we had you on the air, where we put the division on the line, Mets, Phillies for the division, whereas if the Phillies won, I have to dress up as a Philly, BT maybe in a Surfside can costume, and if the Mets win, you got to send us another full pallet of the delicious Surfsides. How you feeling, Clem, after these first two games of this all-important series right now?
Listen, Sal, you know, not great with the first two games, but still got a 5-game lead. I just checked the odds. Phils are -750 to win the division. Mets are +500. I mean, how are you feeling, I guess, is the question.
Well, I'll tell you this. On Sunday, I felt like it was over, and I was disappointed because I was like, ah, man, they didn't even give us any fun as far as the division goes for the final month of the season. But after these first two, I don't know, Clem, your Phils are looking tight here, and all of a sudden, not only have the Mets had their number, but that number goes from 7 to 5. If the Mets win tonight, your Phillies, I think, are in some
trouble.
That's
a big one. That's the kicker. I mean, we take this one back. It's back up to 6. You guys complete the sweep. All of a sudden, we got a division race.
I mean, you've been texting me. You and Spike texting me about Durant and the Phillies. And then I watched Durant last night.
I mean, what happened
night?
To Durant? They said that was the first ever. Pete told me that's the first time Durant ever gave up 4 hits without recording it out. First time ever. I think we're cursed. We're cursed at Citi Field. And I don't know why. We sponsored him. We've got Surfside flowing there. It should be good juju for us.
That is a great point, Clem. I'll tell you, if you blow – now, you remember the 17 games to go, seven-game lead that the Mets had that your Phillies stole from the Mets. Maybe it's a little reversal here with seven-game deficit with 32 to go. Now it's 5 with 30. I mean, maybe you could be on the wrong end of this this historic collapse potentially from your Phillies, who look tight, and the Mets have their number. There's no doubt about it.
No, you know, listen, no question. I'm still confident, but I see some cracks in the armor. You know, Duran hasn't looked right since he had that injury scare. We obviously lost Wheeler. You know, Castellanos never saw a pitch he didn't like to swing at. And, you know, the vibes have gone a little bit down, but we still got 30 games. Still think we got the better squad, but I do think it's important. We got to break this Citi Field first. I don't want to be going into the playoffs with the mental hangover that we can't win in that building. Got to get that monkey off our back.
Well, that's the other thing. You could win the division, but you know if these two teams meet in the playoffs, you may have a similar fate to what you saw last year and what you saw with the Knicks and Sixers a couple years ago.
God, I got to win one off of you, man. This is going to be brutal. I got to get at least one here. I mean, we're going to have to do an Eagles-Giants bet just to give me a little cushion here.
Yeah, what do you think? I am some sort of sucker, Clem? I don't know if I could do that. I'll tell you this. If you don't win this, if the Phillies don't win this division head-to-head with the Mets, I mean, that will be as bad, almost as bad as the 2007 collapse. So, and you know me. I want to see the Mets win the division, but I really want to see them win the division so I can have myself some Surfside. I need that pallet of Surfside. Playoffs is going to be great, but it's going to taste even better if we get that pallet of Surfside over to the fan.
Absolutely. I mean, for you, it will be. Either way, for me, it'll be sweet. But the other thing you should know, you know, when they do play, hopefully, inevitably, in the playoffs, you got to come down to Philly. We just made a big sponsorship down there. And I know, believe me, I'm all too familiar with how well New Yorkers travel to Philly for games. I think they say it's still cheaper for New Yorkers to come down, buy a ticket, and spend a night in a hotel than it is to buy a ticket in New York. So we get way more New York fans than I would like. But if you're familiar with the Philly sports complex, right in the middle of all the stadiums is this huge mega sports bar complex. It was formerly called Xfinity Live, but it's about to be called, and in time for the playoffs, it will be called Stateside Live. So we are the new sponsor of that venue, and the Surfside and the Stateside will be flowing. So look forward to hosting you and hopefully not too many of your rambunctious New York fans.
No, I'm not coming alone. We're coming down in droves, Clem. I got news for you. I saw that. I'm excited for it. Mark my words, I will be there, especially if it's Mets, Phils, no doubt about it. By the way, before we let you go, somebody told me here, you know, we're hanging out at the Salt Shack. We miss you. Wish you guys were here, but we got Surfside all over the place. I was told that there's a new flavor coming. Is that true?
Maybe. Not ready for announcement, but I will definitely, maybe when we settle our bet at the end of the season, it might be time. But yeah, we always got to have something up our sleeve a little bit, right, and keep it fresh. So
you got to tell them be careful. Expect, you got to tell them be careful telling the radio people the news that's not ready for air yet, because I was almost going with it. But either way, I love all the flavors. I'm excited for the new flavor, hopefully when we do have that breaking. And we'll revisit this one more time at least before it's over with the division, Clem, with the Mets and Phillies. But we love to have you. Congrats with everything that's gone on with Surfside. Best of luck, even though I want to win this bet. Best of luck to your Phils the rest of the way here.
Thank you, my friend. And hey, shout out to Sal from Rockland. We sent him a little care package, so hopefully he's enjoying that in the remaining days of summer.
Hoff has one question for you here, Clem, too, before you
leave. Clem, by the way, I went to Sal's this weekend, and he had a bunch of Surfside, and there was a flavor that I never had before, and we need more of that when we win the division. So please send over the green tea, peach, and mango.
Oh, you like the green tea? The new flavors with the green tea.
Yeah, no, that I mean, I love them all, but that mango one is dangerous, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Clem. You're the man. We appreciate the few minutes.
Appreciate you guys. Take care.
All right, Clem. See, yeah, it would have been a different tone. I was like, oh, God, we got to have Clem on, but the division's kind of over. Luckily, the Mets have won these two games in a row here, and now all of a sudden it's getting tight in Philadelphia. Matter of fact, they have one of their hosts on IP, went on this rant, you know, kind of like he's stealing my material. Joe Giglio, you're still on my material. I did this years ago. And by the way, I didn't do it as material. I did it because I really thought the Mets were going to win the division in 2022. And then because of the publicity that that got after the Mets, of course, famously blew the division, now other guys want to go out there. You know, Marash does the same thing. The division is over. Evan's been having fun with that. Now Giglio goes out there on WIP and says that the division is over. The Phillies are going to win it. All of a sudden, Joe's going to feel the wrath of his Philly fans if things start going the wrong way. They were talking about if the Phillies sweep the Mets, they're going to be up 10. Well, no. Phillies can't sweep the Mets. They can't even win the series. They better make sure they get tonight. Otherwise, it's going to be a big problem.
Are you going to delete your tweet that you put up?
No.
That post?
No, because I told you. I'm not lying. This is not a hope thing. It's not a bit. I really believed that the Mets were going to win the division. I held out hope as long as I could. Right before this series. I could have held out a little bit longer, I guess, because definitively to me, if they lose one game here, then it's over. But they might not lose a game. We'll see what happens tonight. All right, let's get back to the phones here, Hoff. Actually, you need me to break or no? Where are we at with that?
No, we're good. We can just take another phone call. Why not?
Okay, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Fun to talk to Clem, of course, from Surfside. Great dude, and obviously the Surfside's great. You know who else loves Surfside? Mitchell is in Fort Lee. Mm. What's up, Mitchell?
Hello, Sal. How you doing, buddy? Guess what? I've already had five of them already, five Surfsides already, and I'm having a great time in Bahamas, baby. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, there we go.
Maybe
maybe we finally get a good call from you now that you have five Surfsides. What's up? What's on your mind today, Mitch?
Okay. Here we go, Sal. You know what's interesting? Like you talked about the Mets, I feel the same way about the Yankees. When the Yankees were down 7.5 games to Toronto, I said, oh, boy, here we go. Then the Yankees give us a few wins, and we feel a little bit better. Then they come to Boston. They came in and they beat us 3 out of 4. It's like, oh, my God. Now we're only 4.5 games out. The Yankees just have to play well today, go to Houston, and next weekend to get the Blue Jays for 3 games. If the Yankees can get lucky, Blue Jays lose 2 games, they come next weekend, we could be tied after next Sunday for the division, baby. We got a race going on, Sal, and I hope you'll be with me for one of those games. And,
The next time I might set foot in a stadium, Mitchell, and thank you for the call. Always good to hear from you. Glad you're enjoying your vacation and appreciate taking the time to call. I do believe the division race is still on for the Yankees. Put it this way. Clem was saying, oh, how do you feel about the Mets division? I'm holding now as it pertains to the Mets, it's more hope-based than belief-based. I believe the Yankees can still win the American League East because I don't think Toronto is that good and because the Yankees' schedule is very soft down the stretch. So I believe the Yankees can still win the division. I don't believe at my core that the Mets are going to win the division. I hope it. If they win tonight, maybe that could change it. I think there's a long way to go, though. I don't believe at my core that they're going to be a division. I mean, think about what it would take. Not only do they have to sweep the Phillies, meaning win again tonight, get it to 4, there's still 4 games back with 29 to go. That's a lot. And the Mets themselves have not – look, they haven't earned my belief. I held out as long as I could. If they swept Atlanta, it would have been a different story. If they played better against the freaking Nats and the Braves over the course of those 12 games, the 12-game stretch ahead of the series – you know, I was expecting 9-3, 8-4, the worst. They went 6-6. Not good enough. So even with a sweep of the Phillies, it gets things back to maybe, yeah, it's possible, but still not likely. But ultimately, it doesn't matter. Just get in. Brett is on Long Island, who I haven't talked to since the overnight days. Brett, where are you? Coming out to the Salt Shack or what?
Now, if Daniel Jones gets the Colts to the playoffs or even a Super Bowl, I'm coming in the studio and you're kissing my goddamn feet after the abuse.
Why are you talking about Daniel Jones still? It's over. It's over. Are you a Colts fan now?
No, the Giants were horrible. I told you that. You said he sucks. If he does good, you're wrong, and you better admit it.
It's over. I am no longer talking about Daniel Jones. I don't do sports in Indianapolis. I am a New York sports talk host. You want to talk about the Giants?
You talk sports. Sal, you talk sports, all teams. What are you talking about?
No, New York sports.
Football. He's a starting quarterback.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. For the Colts. Why do you care about the Colts, Brett?
You said Daniel Jones was good. You said he's the worst.
Let it go. Let it go. No. You love Daniel Jones more than you love the Giants. It's over. It's over. They've got 3 quarterbacks that can throw the ball better left-handed than Daniel Jones. Forget about Daniel Jones.
If you are telling the Surfside, you get sent to the playoffs right now. I'll tell it. I'll use all my
Where, by the way, where are you?
Right
I am I am on Long Island. I am at the Salt Shack. Where are you?
That's my spot. That's my spot.
Well, where are you?
I'm working right now. I go there. My wife worked there. It used to be the beach hut. That's my spot right
What time are you there? Man, well, right now it's my spot. It's our spot. We're all hanging out here having some surfsides. What time do you get off? I'm going to be here for a while. You going to come down and hang out?
So the port side was your spot. I make your mind up.
The what was my spot?
Port Jefferson.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I'm saying right now I'm hanging out. And thanks for the call, Brett. We appreciate you checking in. Good to hear from you. Dude, you got to move on from Daniel Jones. It's over. He's a cult. Why? I mean, I thought the best part about Daniel Jones moving on was that we didn't have to talk about him anymore. Why are you calling talking about that? You could talk about Jackson Dart. You could talk about Russell Wilson. You could even talk about Tommy DeVito, who, by the way, was supposed to shed a tear. Poor Tommy DeVito. Like, I like Tommy DeVito. I thought he was better than Daniel Jones. But, I mean, this is not a sad thing. This is a great thing. Tommy DeVito getting cut by the Giants means that the Giants are better. They actually have three quarterbacks better than Tommy DeVito. That's a great thing. This is a great day for the Giants cutting Tommy DeVito. Oh, my God, the tears shed yesterday. What are we doing here? Oh, oh, Tommy is cut. No more cutlets. Yeah, that's great. You want the stupid emojis and the cutlets, or you want some wins? Now you've got hope with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston and obviously Jackson Dart. Legit hope and reason to believe. Good God, Daniel Jones and Tommy DeVito. Come on. By the way, NFL Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, am I right? But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We'll take a quick break. Come back with more of your calls. Hope to have Jerry Recco joining us once he actually shows up here. He's probably stuck in traffic after doing the morning show with Willie, but he's on his way to hang out. If you're in the area, come by at the Salt Shack, Babylon, Long Island. Beautiful down here. Perfect weather. Surfsides are flowing. Can't wait to get off the air here at 12:30 and have some surfsides with you. The BT and Sal Show on the Fan is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. Three Random Questions is sponsored by the Rothenberg Law Firm. Injured? Visit InjuryLawyer.com. A special guest for Three Random Questions, Jerry Recco. You made the trek out here from the studios?
I did, and I have a random question for you before you start Three Random Questions.
Yeah.
So I've listened to this every, what's today?
Wednesday, yes.
Every Wednesday for as long as you've been doing it.
Yes.
And I hear you do the open, and I love it.
Yeah.
The random question for you, what song is that from? You're open. Whatever that whistle is.
I have no idea. I was going to say something to do with the warm-up show?
Nope. I'll tell you who sings the song. Bob Dylan.
Oh, I have no idea.
No idea. Highway 61.
Did you see that movie?
I have not seen it.
That was not a random
question. And I love Bob Dylan. I have not seen it.
No, you should see it. If you like Bob Dylan. I don't like Bob Dylan. I thought the movie was okay. But if you like him, whatever. All right. I really didn't have this prepared for you.
Okay.
Because one of them, actually, I got from your show today.
Okay.
It was going to be your go-to karaoke song. Which you already gave yours. Which is it?
I did not give mine.
Oh, you didn't. So then this is question number one.
No.
Jerry, question number one, as I prepared all along, what is your go-to karaoke song?
Well, number one, I've never done karaoke.
Okay.
So I don't have a go-to.
Oh.
But I would tell you that song right there might be in the top three.
Really?
Love that song.
Bob Dylan?
Yes.
It's got to be a more fun karaoke song.
No, that's a fun song. That's a fun song. Look at Steve. Am I right or am I wrong?
All
that
right.
is a fun song.
And the real reason that I wanted to ask this question because I wanted to give mine. Do you have any guess?
It's going
to
be Eminem.
Very close.
Not Eminem.
Well, that would be one, right? I was thinking it through hearing you guys, I'm like, oh, yeah, Eminem, like Role Model or whatever. Like, there are songs.
I was going to lose yourself.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Not my thing, but whatever. But then I was
Kanye
like, no.
Kanye West?
No, close, but you got to think more cheesy karaoke.
Cheesy.
90s.
Barry Manilow.
No.
You
ready for it?
Yeah.
Four Non Blondes, What's Up?
Oh, I love that song.
Isn't that a great song?
Yes.
That's a karaoke song.
Yeah, but I know you like the newer one that's a little faster.
What do you mean?
Didn't you play the mix song with BT?
No. Oh, maybe we did. I don't know what they're playing behind there. I asked for Four Non Blondes. What's up? But
it's
that song. That is a great song. To me, that's like a great. It's cheesy, but it's a song that you know all the words to.
You want
to
sing that song karaoke?
I mean, if you have enough surf sides, I'll do anything.
You guys want to hear Sal sing some karaoke?
No. I mean, I'm not doing that live. I'm not doing it live yet. Maybe
about an hour?
About to have a surfside hit me in the face right now. We got 13 minutes or so to go. All right, number two, cigars. Cool or douchey?
No, I don't think they're – I don't like them, but I don't think they're – I think it's actually kind of cool. I prefer the pipe.
Okay. Pipe, not douchey. Pipe Eddie, to me would be –
Eddie might grab that one on me. But I think they're fun.
Jerry prefers the pipe, yeah, we learned here today at 3RQ.
Unfortunately.
I just feel like – now, I'm not a smoker, yeah. Period. Like, I've never done marijuana. I don't smoke cigarettes. Never had a cigar. I maybe have had, like, at times where it's like a bachelor party or after a wedding. It's like, hey, you want to try the cigar? And I'm like – yeah, like I think after JJ's wedding, actually Marash, whose parents were here, I don't know if they left already, okay. We probably bored them. Like we were having a cigar,
yeah.
And I was like, yeah, okay, cool for the picture, but I don't know what I'm doing. And then I think about it, I see people posting pictures of it. It's like,
there is something.
You're not
weird
Tony Soprano
about like, that big thick thing in your mouth.
You're really asking for it here.
But on the golf course, very popular, not douchey.
All right, last one for you. Window seat on a plane. The person in the aisle is asleep. You wake them up or no?
This is a problem for me. So I'm a window seat person.
Okay.
The problem has become, as I've gotten older, I need to use the bathroom a lot more than I used to. Hmm. You have to wake them up.
Yeah.
I try as long as I can. Yeah. Now, when we went to California last week with the Boomer and Geo crew, every time they got up, I got up. But, yeah, you got to wake them up.
Well, what do you mean when you say they got up?
The people, well, the middle and the
not
people in the
aisle. Geo. They were sitting in first class, probably.
They took off from Long Island. We were by the bathrooms out in New Jersey.
They weren't even first class. They were on a private plane.
They weren't on a private plane, but they had, like, sleeper seats.
Yeah.
They barely gave us a Coke.
Oh, okay.
We were way in the back.
I understand how that works, Jerry. Yeah. All right, BT and Sal, the Fan, Jerry Recco, hanging out with us here. We're hanging out at the Salt Shack. On Long Island, Babylon, Long Island here, having some fun, drinking Surfsides all day long, so you and I are going to hang out for a while.
Sure.
It's been a busy day for you, hanging out with Willie, driving here, and now hanging out with me. You want to take some calls to close us out here?
No.
Okay, well, that's what I'm going to do. So, you want to talk about anything else?
No, I'm good.
Oh, okay. Let's
your
take,
show.
Let's take a while. Well, no, I mean, it's our show.
For
you know what I was
minutes.
Thinking? Well, I mean, yeah. You know what I was thinking, too? Usually, you and I would get, you know, not usually, but we did for 10 years do those Columbia games together. Mm-hmm. This was kind of the time, the end of the summer, the beginning of the fall. You got college football coming up this Saturday.
Yeah.
We'd be getting ready to start to our 10-week journey in the Ivy League.
We'd be at camp this week.
Yeah.
I know.
Don't you miss that?
Parts of it I do.
Yeah.
I don't miss the every week going to practice once the season began. But yeah, no, I miss the time. I miss doing the games. And it signified the fall, and here comes football. So yeah.
You know what we could have used back then? Surfsides. That would have made those trips and those games. I may not want to drink Surfside during the radio show. I needed those Surfsides during those Columbia games.
No one cares, but that one trip to Harvard, when you told me on Thursday, I'm going to make this, you did SNY on Friday, and you told me, I swear to God, if they don't play well on Saturday, I'm going to quit.
Yeah.
You showed up right before kickoff because you had a mess of a commute to get up there, and they were down 21-0
before you could
minutes
blink.
Into the game, and you were ready to leave.
Yeah, 73-0 final.
Oh, was that tough.
And the head coach was like, I think you're being too critical of us. Get lost, will you? And he soon did after that. All right, BT and Sal, all the fan. Where are you at here with the Mets after these two wins? My open was kind of...
I heard.
Yeah, okay. So
I heard.
Like, I get it. I get the excitement. I was holding off on hope for the division and belief in the division. Mm-hmm. I think mathematically you get to a certain point where you got to give it up. They have to sweep tonight, otherwise these two wins mean nothing.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't necessarily buy it. I think keep winning series, and I think they'll have an opportunity the final week of the season. I don't think the division's over because the fact that Zach Wheeler is done for the season, I don't want to downplay how big of a deal that is for Philadelphia. For whatever reason, the Mets have had their number, especially at home. I think if the Mets can get to the final week of the season within two games, it's all up in the air. I mean, how many times do we see these teams blow the... The Mets were up seven games.
Yeah,
they're now they were down seven games. The Yankees were up seven games. They're down five. It happens fast. So I would not give up on it unless they were down, you know, 8, 9, 10 games.
Right, but I guess the problem is the math and the reason to, like, for me, I believed it wasn't hope. You should always have hope as a fan. Mm-hmm. Hey, they could still win the division. But when you get to a point where there were seven games back with 32 to go, mm-hmm. knowing that in all likelihood they had to sweep the Phillies to remain alive, and I was not thinking that was going to be the case because look at the way the Mets have played versus how the Phillies have played now, head-to-head, they won the first two. They still, by the way, haven't swept. It feels like that. People are acting like that, but they still haven't swept. Even if they do, four games back with 29 to go, that's a lot to... Do we think that, like, are the Mets not going to lose a game the rest of the week? So let's say they do, and the Phillies win now, all of a sudden it goes back. Like, it seems in the moment when you shave off two in a row like that, it seems more attainable than in reality, I think. That it's a tough ask, especially if they somehow lose tonight.
They're not in a great spot, but I cannot say the division's over. 7-17. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times do we have to see it? How many times do we see teams?
I know,
last
but that never
year, the
happens.
Mets were dead. Everybody quit on the Mets last year. Not only do they make the playoffs, they end up going to the NLCS.
It never happens. All right, now let's get a call in. I don't care what you say, Jerry. Ralph is calling from Yonkers. What's up, Ralph?
Hi, Sal. How you doing?
It's Sal and Jerry, by the way, but go ahead.
Oh, hi, Sal and Jerry. Sal, I just find you so frustrating to listen to. I really do.
Well, the way
you change your mind, it's unbelievable. When they ask you before the Phillies come in, is the division over? You say yes. Don't you realize that the Mets could possibly sweep? Now you're admitting, okay, win tomorrow, we're back in it. It's just so wishy-washy. It's very frustrating.
That's not fair.
You don't have the mentality.
Ralph, hold on a second.
Jerry,
you know what? You were right. We shouldn't have taken calls. My bad. We shouldn't have taken calls. What was I thinking there? Ralph, that is not fair. Of anybody on the entire station, and I'll take it even a step further, in the entire fan base, of anybody who held out belief, there's a difference between belief and hope. I held out belief the longest. And they do the whole bit with me on the afternoon show, Evan, every day. Is he Anthony Silver? He did that with the idea of the Mets having a 5-game lead. That's what he thought. Evan's the one who jinxed it. Don't get on me. Get on Evan. So they've been doing that all year long. To them, Evan and Maresh were doing it. Then the Phillies obviously took control, and everybody else was giving up. And I did not believe that it was over. After the Mets failed on Sunday to miss an opportunity there, Jerry.
Bad loss.
To sweep. It was a bad loss. They had control of that game. They should have swept Atlanta going into the Philly series. To me, at that point, I lost belief. Not hope, belief. And the only way, maybe you're right, I should have waited another day, but I wasn't really thinking that everybody's going to hold me to it. But you know when they, first of all, I did tweet about it, but Evan calls me as I'm writing the show at SNY. I get a call from Maresh. I did not think, we were talking about something else during the course of the day. I did not think it was about the division. I get a call. He goes, we're live on the radio. Evan wants to ask you a question. And then he asked me, and I said, yeah, it's over. Should I have held out and told they lost a game to the Phillies? Maybe, but I didn't. Kill me. What do you want me to do? Anyway, the point is that I'm not wishy-washy on it. I still don't believe the Mets are going to – I don't believe that they're going to win the division.
I think you still have a chance to get all that Surfside.
Yeah, that's what I want.
I still think there's a chance.
I did this for us, dude. A whole palette.
I know you did. I know you did. Let's get to September 1st.
Yeah.
It's August 27th.
If they lose tonight, what do you think, the Mets?
They won 2 out of 3. Now go beat the Marlins.
I know, but it'd be 6 games.
I forget the number. Okay, just go win your games.
Yeah, you're right. I should stay away from math. I've never been very good at that anyway. Mm. All right, when we come back, we'll finish up here. 888-808-1019. Sal Licata hanging out with Jerry Recco live at the Salt Shack here on Long Island. Surfside all day. Can't wait to have some in a few minutes. The city's biggest indoor pickleball event coming back October 10th and 11th, and it will sell out. It says to pause.
I do,
there.
And you do that very professionally.
Yeah, thank you. You wouldn't even know if I didn't tell you there. sign up for the fun or for the cash prizes. I like both. Go to 1010wins.com/pickleball for all the info. The pickleball tournament is presented by Nissan. At Nissan, we make cars that thrill. Experience the thrill for yourself today. Shop NissanUSA.com. Even with the win, I know we're so results-based, but it can't always just be, well, they won, so everything's fine, or they lost, so everything's crap. They won, yes, but in that win, two very, very important things went the wrong way with Sean Manaea, again, only be able to go 4 2/3.
Pitch well.
Effective. He's been effective. He just hasn't given any length. That's fine, but then they need to figure that out. Okay, he can be an effective pitcher for 3 or 4 innings. How are they going to piggyback that? Whether it's Tong, Holmes, Sproat, you want to bring him up. They can't just keep running him out there as a starter and dip into the bullpen so early on. And the other thing would be Helsley, who's been a disaster.
Horrendous. Horrendous. But McClain, Sproat, Tong, I mean, that's the all of a sudden the new renewed energy in this team. Like the idea that you've got these three arms coming up, that they could be in the rotation in the postseason.
Yeah.
And I also like what Ron Darling said last night. You know what? Maybe Manaea's like, he's building up like in spring training. He's got to stretch him out, and get a little bit better.
Yeah.
Last night was not a bad start.
They've been saying that, but it's been a month now.
Last night it looked the part at least. And if they turn that double play, he gets through 5. He probably doesn't come out for the 6th, but at least it looked better.
I do think that the Mets will be better in the playoffs because everything gets shortened and you could trim some of the fat here and, figure out which roles you want. They're going to have a bunch of solid options. How are they going to fit these guys in the roles, even if it is Manaea piggybacking with somebody else or whatever you want to say? Helsley's an issue because the guy throws 100, but it's straight as an arrow, yep. And he's not fooling anybody. He's not blowing it by anybody.
I said that to Willie this morning. Could you imagine having the ability to throw 102 miles an hour and you can't get anybody out?
Dude!
It's tough.
How come he can't finish anybody?
Tough. I don't know.
And then he can't throw the slider for a strike. You can't trust him. So now, at least I thought it was the right move to go to him last night. Now you can't put him out there in a big spot. So he is, to me, rendered useless. Like, what are you going to do with Helsley?
He'll probably run back out there again at
some
point.
No way.
He's going to have to be.
Yeah, they can't. I don't think that they can. I mean, maybe do the Devin Williams thing, try to work him back up in a lower leverage situation. But, Helsley has been – so that has been a problem with Helsley and then Manaea and Senga. That's something that even with these two wins against the Phillies, that has not changed. Those are big problems that aren't going away anytime
soon.
No, the
Phillies have their problems too, though. And we still have 30-something games to go.
Look at you. Ray of positivity. Who says you're always negative?
And I think the Giants are going to be good. So
you've already hit the surf sides, I'm hearing.
I have not.
That's what it sounds like to me.
I have not.
What's your go-to flavor?
All of them.
Yeah, I know.
I like the lemonades. I like the green tea one.
Really?
The green tea one is very good.
You try the
good.
Flavored green teas yet?
I have.
Okay.
Yeah, but so the green tea ones are good. The lemonades, I mean, God, how can you go wrong? And they're all good. The peach tea.
All right.
Come on.
Mike is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Sal? Last night was definitely nerve-wracking with a Helsley. I thought maybe they could have stayed with Rogers.
Oh, sorry. And thank you for the call, Mike. Yeah, I was... That's my
not
bad.
Paying attention?
Well, no. 12:23. I thought we had till 25. Thanks to Hoff. Hoff is producing here. We appreciate that. Thanks to Dove back at the shop. Thanks to Steve Apria setting us up here. Thanks to Salt Shack for having us. Surfsides, come on down. Jerry and I are going to be here all afternoon long. Can't wait to get some Surfsides. Looking forward to it. And, hey, you know, not that I root for, you know, you want to be unbiased, but let's go Mets tonight, Jerry. Get us a win. That division's still in play. I told you. The NL East isn't over. All right, Jerry.
Anything? See you, Sal.
All right, we'll see you guys soon. Hey, Yankee baseball coming up next. No John
Stanton's
Carl Stanton.
Not playing.
Yeah. Five home runs last night, but he's not playing today. Good job, Yank. All right, we'll see you next week, actually. Enjoy the rest of the week. I'm on vacation. See you next week when everything gets big.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.